So you guys have been learning about the Holy Spirit, right? Okay. And what have you been doing when your teacher says the Holy Spirit helps us? What have you been doing in class? That's good. Okay, can we practice that? Okay, feel free to join on. Where if we say, whenever we say the Holy Spirit helps us, we say, that's good. Okay, so the Holy Spirit helps us. Awesome. So we are going to be talking about how the Holy Spirit is going to help a person whose name is Philip. Okay, we're going to learn about Philip and we're going to learn about the Samaritan. So let's close our eyes, let's fold our hands, and let's pray. Remember, God listens to us when we pray. Jesus, we thank you for today. God, we thank you for your love. Will you teach us more about the Holy Spirit and how you want us to listen to your Spirit and be your people? In your name we pray, amen. Now, before we get to Philip, okay, I want to tell you something that Jesus said before Jesus rose into heaven. Do you know that? That's what happened. Jesus just rose up and then the clouds hit him. He went up into heaven. Isn't that cool? But this is what he said before that happened. Remember, what did the disciples say? They're like, is it time, Jesus? They're like, Jesus, is it time for your kingdom? Ian, they were saying, Jesus, is it time for your kingdom? And you know what Jesus told them? He said this, Holland. He said this. He said, it's not for you to know the time. It's not for you to worry about when is the kingdom going to get set up. But here's what he said. He says, I want you to wait here until God gives you the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will give you power, and he'll give you power to be my witnesses. Do you guys know what it means to be a witness? What is it? Okay, so you're saying witness is to be like a helper? That's kind of what it is, okay? But what? Anybody back here, what does it mean to be a witness? You tell people, right? Okay, so a witness is somebody that they tell about something that they've experienced. Okay, so like if we had like a courtroom, like let's say somebody stole something and they're before a judge and somebody could, we'd be like, Austin, did you see Mr. Blippity Blobbity Blue steal that piece of candy? And you did. So you would stand up, you say, I promise to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, taught me God. And then we'd be like, Austin, what did you see? And you're like, well, last Saturday it was 2 o'clock and I was there at the store and I saw Mr. Bibbidi Bobbidi Blibbidi Doo steal that piece of candy. Okay, that would be a witness. Okay, he saw something, he experienced something, so he shared about it. Now the Holy Spirit helps us. Now does it mean to be a witness where we just like see what people do wrong and we tell them that they did wrong, like if we were in the court? That's not what it means. That is kind of what it means, but it's different. What it means is that he said what you know about Jesus, what you've learned about Jesus, what you've experienced about Jesus, you tell others. That's what we're supposed to do. Okay, everybody look back there. Adults too. What does it say? Anybody want to read that? You are now entering a mission field. To be a witness is basically the same thing as being a missionary. To tell people what you know about Jesus. And you know what? God has called all of us to be missionaries. Do you know that you're a missionary? Do you know that you're a missionary? Do you know that you're a missionary? Wherever you live, you're a missionary. You're a witness. You have the Spirit of God in you to tell others about Jesus. And you know what, kids? Sorry. For some of you, God may call you to be a missionary in places like Papua New Guinea or Venezuela or Russia, maybe, or wherever. God may be calling you. Can I hold this, please? God may be calling you to be a missionary way around the world. But you know that school starts in a couple weeks for you, right? You know that God is calling you to be a missionary at school because you know about Jesus. And you can tell people about you. Heard and seen about Jesus because the Holy Spirit wants to help you. That's good, right? Wants to help you know what to say. So let's fast forward a little bit, okay? The disciples, they waited, right? A lot of you guys know this story. The disciples were waiting. They were praying. There was 120 of them there. And then the Holy Spirit came down on them, right? And did you guys know this story? Where there was like this big wind, and then there was tongues of fire, and then people started praising God in all different kinds of languages, even languages they had never learned. Would that be cool? Like all of a sudden, you're just like speaking in Swahili, praising God. And here's the cool thing. There was people from all over the place that had come to Jerusalem to worship God, and they're like, oh my goodness, somebody is praising God in Swahili. And that's where I'm from. I'm from the place where they speak that. Now, they knew the other language, but they're like, they are praising God in my own language. This was the sign then that they had the Holy Spirit. And then guess what happened? Peter, right? The Apostle Peter got up and he started preaching about Jesus. And I want you to get this. You guys listening? Listen up here. Look here. Look at my nose. 50 days before this, Jesus had been crucified in that city. And in the same city that less than 2 months ago, Jesus was crucified, Peter stood up and said, "You all killed Jesus! He's the Son of God." What is it? Yeah, I'm sweating. You're right. You can sit down. You just love kids, don't you? So he told him, "You killed Jesus, and Jesus is God's Son." Now, how many of you would think, yeah, that sounds like a smart idea? The exact same city that 2 months ago, these people said they killed Jesus, and I'm going to tell them, "You killed the Son of God." How many of you think that sounds like a safe thing to do? Anybody? It doesn't sound very safe to me. It sounds like it would take a lot of boldness to do that. You see, the Holy Spirit gave Peter power to share God's word. And the church grew. And there was 3,000 people. Then there was 5,000 people. And there's all these people following Jesus. And things seem to be going really good. But you know what Jesus told them when they got the Spirit? Do you know what he said? He said, "You're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem," which was their city, "in Judea," which was their country, "in Samaria," which was the country over there that they really didn't like those people, and those people didn't like them, "and all the way to the end of the world." But guess where all of God's people were at? Anybody know? Bennett, come here, buddy. Anybody there know? Where were God's people?
Egypt.
Not Egypt. Good guess, though. They were still in Jerusalem. All of God's people were hanging out in Jerusalem, and they're having a great time worshiping God and teaching His Word and hanging out and eating together, and it's growing and everything's going good. But were they supposed to stay in Jerusalem?
No.
And do you know what happened? There was a man named Stephen, and he really loved God. And the people there got really mad at Stephen because he loved God, and he told them about Jesus, and they didn't want to hear about Jesus. And so the Jewish leaders, they had him killed. And then it started to get really hard for the church, because now the Christians were arrested and they were taken and put in jail. And so you know what the Christians did that they were all in Jerusalem together? They scattered. They went to other places. But do you know what they did as they scattered around? They remembered that they were witnesses. They were missionaries. So everywhere they went, they told people about Jesus, and more people became Christians. And that's where we get our story for today. Okay? There was a man named Philip. Can everybody say Philip on the count of three? 1, 2, 3.
Philip!
I don't know if I heard you guys. Ready? Let's see if the adults can do it too. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
Philip!
Philip loved Jesus. Philip went to a country called Samaria. Do you know who lived in Samaria? They were called Samaritans. And the Jews and the Samaritans did not like each other. Do I want some water? Sure, you can give me some water. That'd be awesome. Oh, you're going to give me Mama's water bottle? Thank you. You're a sweetie. Thank you. So, Philip went to Samaria, and those were people that they didn't really like Philip. And Philip's people really didn't like them. Any of you guys have people in your life that, to be honest, you don't really like hanging around them? Anybody? Yeah. Philip went there, and you know what he did? He told them about Jesus. He went to a place where you would normally never go. He went to people that you would normally never talk to, that they didn't like talking to. And he said, "But I'm going to tell them about Jesus." I have a question for you. Who in your life needs to know about Jesus that God may be telling you to be the one that tells them? Yeah. Do you know somebody you think of in your head?
We have a cousin that
Yeah, you may have family members or cousins or things. Okay? So let's finish up our story, okay? So Philip tells him about Jesus, and Philip doesn't just tell him, he's doing miracles, and people are getting healed, and they're being set free, and everybody's really excited, and they believe in Jesus. And there was one dude whose name was Simon. You guys heard about Simon? Simon was there. You know what? Simon was a magician. He could do tricks. He had some power that people thought he was a really cool guy. And when Simon saw everything that Philip was doing, he was like, wow, that's some real power. I want that kind of power. You know what happened later on in the story? The Samaritans believed in Jesus. And so Peter and John came there and they prayed for them that they may receive the Holy Spirit. And so they received the Holy Spirit, and Simon saw that and he saw what happened. And he's like, I want to be able to do that. Peter, here's $100 or I don't know how much money, but he's like, I'll give you money if you give me that power. And Peter looked at him and said, you don't get it. You just want this for this power. Your heart is full of sin. He says, you need to ask God for forgiveness. And Simon, though, he didn't really ask God for forgiveness. He's just like, well, Peter, pray for me. And we really don't know what happened to Simon. Now, what's a little takeaway we can get from that? Kids, you listen too, but adults, sometimes we follow Jesus for what we think we can get from him. And that's what Simon wanted to do. He didn't really want to follow Jesus. He just wanted to believe enough to get power for himself. But it's kind of like, have any of you ever like seen something cool and you pointed out to like a toddler, like, oh, look at that cool bird. And the toddler just like looks at your finger pointing. You're like, no, there. And they're like, yeah. And you're like, no, the bird. And they're just like pointing too. That's what Simon was doing. It's like he saw the cool things that Philip did, but instead of it pointing him to Jesus and him worshiping Jesus, he just was so enamored by the sign. And so for us, we don't want to just follow Jesus for what he can give to us, what we can get from him. We want to follow him because he saved us and we want to live for him. Okay, we're going to wrap this up in just a little bit. So I got one more small story for you, okay? And as we talk about this story, we're going to end it with communion. So if you didn't get one of these cups, adults, and you want to participate in communion, can we have some ushers that come by? You can put your hand up and the ushers will give it to you. But after Philip preached in Samaria, you know what God told him? Anybody know the story? Anybody back here know the story? What happened next? God told Philip, go walk down this desert road. Kind of an interesting thing. Philip, you go from Jerusalem and walk down in the desert. And did Philip obey God, even though it sounded weird? Or did he do his own thing? He obeyed God. And so he's walking down this road, and guess what he saw while he was walking? There was a man driving a chariot. And this man was from a country in Africa called Ethiopia. And you know what the guy was doing in the chariot? Wow. He was reading God's word. And he was reading it out loud. And so God told Philip, go run up next to the chariot. Now use your imagination, okay? The chariot's probably not going like super, super fast. But I mean, like chariots are going. They're like horses are pulling them. Wouldn't it be cool just to see Philip run up next to the chariot? And he's just running next to the chariot, okay? And he's just listening to the guy reading. And Philip's running next to the chariot. And he's like, hey, do you understand what you're reading? And the guy's like, no, I need someone to explain it to me. Do you know what he was reading? Listen. Okay? Here's what he was reading. I got to find the right, I'm in the wrong chapter. Here we go. Okay. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter. And as a lamb is silent before its shearers, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who will describe his generation? For his life is taken away from earth. He was reading from the book of Isaiah, that was talking about how Jesus was going to die on the cross for the sins of the people. And that in Jesus dying, people would be able to have life and forgiveness of sins.
Isn't that so cool that God brought Philip right to that man, right when he was reading about Jesus dying on the cross for our sins so we can be forgiven? That's how the Holy Spirit helped him. Let's be paying attention for the times this week when the Holy Spirit is leading us to go somewhere or say something or do something or speak to somebody. Because what happened is Philip explained to the Ethiopian what it means to be a Christian. And I'm sure what he said, and we can get the cups out if you have a cup, I'm sure part of what he said is, I want to tell you about how Jesus died for our sins. Do you know, Ethiopian man, do you know that this is talking about Jesus Christ, God's Son, who He died on the cross for our sins? And Jesus gave us this bread. He said, this bread represents my body that was broken for you. That Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And I'm sure he talked to him about how when Jesus died, his blood was shed, and his blood is what covers our sins. And I'm sure he told him that, do you know how you can be forgiven? He said, when you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, and he rose from the dead, come sit here right here, and he rose from the dead, that you have new life, you have forgiveness of sins, and you have the gift of the Spirit. And I know that he also said, and part of what we do to show that belief is we're baptized. Because baptism, when we get dunked under the water, is like you died and then you rose again. Because you know what the Ethiopian man said? As they're going along, he says, look, there's water. Can I get baptized? And Philip said, if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, then yes, you can. So here's the takeaway for today. We are called to be witnesses and missionaries no matter where we go. Kids, I want you to be thinking about who are you going to see at school in the next couple weeks that you can tell them about Jesus. That's what I want you to be thinking about. Who has God put in your life that you can be a missionary to? Okay. We're going to end by taking communion together, okay? So let's all take the piece of bread out. Because what happened the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took this piece of bread and he told his disciples, he said, this bread represents my body, which is broken for you. Because he was going to die on the cross for our sins. And he said, do this in remembrance of me. So let's take the bread together. Jesus, we thank you that your body was broken for us. We thank you that your death on the cross in our place was what we needed to be rescued. That you took our punishment for us. And there's no more punishment left for us. Go ahead and get ready to take the cup. And so what Jesus said here, he says, this cup is a cup of the new covenant, okay? It represents my blood, which is poured out, and it covers over your sins. And then he said this, listen, this is super important. He said, I will not drink this cup again to the day I drink it anew in my Father's kingdom. So get this. This is almost the last thing, and then we're going to be able to go home. When we take communion, we remember that Jesus died for our sins. But we also remember that he rose from the dead. He has power over the punishment. We remember that he ascended into heaven. We remember that that happened like 2,000 years ago. And then we remember, we know that one day Jesus is going to come back to take us to be with him. We remember that when our lives end, that we have a place that we will go to be with Jesus forever. So let's take the cup together. Jesus, we thank you for your blood that was shed for us. We thank you that when you died on the cross, you took all of our sins like they were yours. And you took the punishment that we deserve like it was yours. But instead of that punishment destroying you, you destroyed the punishment. So God, we thank you and we love you. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us all to let your Holy Spirit give us the power and the boldness to be missionaries and witnesses wherever we go. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.